For War News Radio at Swarthmore College, I'm Allison Raybar.
And I'm Jerry Chin.
At least 147 are dead and 79 injured after Islamist militants attacked a university in northeast Kenya on Thursday morning. Gunmen reportedly equipped with combat gear took hostages and targeted non-Muslims. In a message released later that day, terrorist group Al-Shabaab took responsibility for the attack, claiming the university was targeted for being part of Kenya's, quote, plan to spread their Christianity and infidelity. This attack comes just a few days after U.S. President Barack Obama will be making his first trip to Kenya in July.
Chadian and Nigerian forces have driven Boko Haram out of the northeastern Nigerian town of Malam Fatori, one of the group's last remaining strongholds in the region. While Boko Haram burned the border town before retreating, many more of its crimes are being discovered as coalition troops from Chad, Nigeria, Niger, and Cameroon are reclaiming territories in the northeast region of Nigeria. UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Zaid Ra'ad Al Hussein, reported that Boko Haram used mass graves, murdered captive women and girls, and used children as cannon fodder. The UN also revealed that since the beginning of 2014, Boko Haram has killed 7,300 civilians, damaged over 300 schools, and displaced at least 1.5 million people.
Earlier this week, an explosion at a camp for internally displaced Yemeni citizens killed 19 and injured at least 25. A subsequent detonation at a dairy factory left at least 25 workers dead. While the forces behind the events remain unknown, both the Saudi-led coalition and the Houthi rebels blame each other for the attacks. Meanwhile, Houthi rebels have recently received support by elite army units loyal to Ali Abdullah Saleh, the former Yemeni president deposed in the Arab Spring. During his presidency, Saleh fought 6 wars against the Houthis, but is now seen to be exploiting their victories for a potential comeback. The United Nations has evacuated its international staff from Yemen, and the Red Cross is demanding the removal of obstacles to international aid as the conflict threatens to escalate to a regional war.
Iraq has recaptured the city of Tikrit from ISIS. The success of Iraqi forces and Shia militia fighters on Tuesday is a strategic step towards retaking Iraq's second-largest city, Mosul. U.S. officials say the battle for Tikrit is not yet over, as Iraqi forces clear the city of IEDs and search for remaining militants. The United Nations reports that at least 137 buildings were completely destroyed and 241 were severely damaged in the fighting. The UN mission also says nearly 1,000 people have died by violence in Iraq this month, the vast majority civilians.
The Palestinian Authority has officially become a member of the International Criminal Court. While Israel is not a member of the ICC and has opposed Palestinian ascension, the court now has jurisdiction over possible war crimes committed in or from the Palestinian territories, including the West Bank, Gaza, and Jerusalem. The court is already examining possible crimes committed during this past summer's conflict in Gaza, and illegal Israeli settlements are also expected to be brought to the ICC. While Palestinian military and civilian leaders may also be subject to indictment, Palestinian Foreign Minister Riyad al-Maliki made clear that the Palestinian Authority would hand over any and all Palestinian suspects if required by the ICC. A Hamas official characterized the ascension as a, quote, step in the right direction towards ending the Israeli occupation.
The Obama administration announced that military aid to Egypt will resume after being suspended in October 2013. Obama will ask Congress for $1.3 billion U.S. dollars in annual military aid for Egypt. The decision was made public after a phone conversation between President Obama and Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, where they discussed challenges to regional stability. While the 2013 freeze on military aid was tied to, quote, credible progress towards democracy, the reopening of funding was described by a National Security Council spokesperson as in the interests of U.S. national security. The U.S. will begin supplying arms to the Egyptian government, including 12 F-16 fighter jets, 20 anti-naval Harpoon missiles, and up to 125 M1A1 Abrams tanks.
Today, we have taken a decisive step. We have reached solutions on key parameters of a joint comprehensive plan of action.
Iran, the U.S., and other Western nations have reached a political framework to limit Tehran's nuclear program this Thursday after an extended 8-day negotiation period. President Obama said this plan, quote, cuts off every path Iran could take to develop nuclear weapons, using the most intrusive methods of inspection in history. However, some European officials noted that 5,000 centrifuges of uranium in the nuclear site of Natanz will remain functioning. Israeli and American officials have also voiced concerns about the impenetrability of Fordo, an enrichment site that will be converted to a research and medical isotope production site. Many Western delegates at the conference said there will still be a large number of details to be decided upon by the final agreement in June.
Our behind-the-scenes crew this week includes Amy DePiro, Leo Elliott, John Gagnon, Joelle Hajj-Boutros, Catherine Kwok, Sabrina Merrill, and Amber Sheth. This week's show was produced by Joelle Hajj-Boutros and Amy DePiro. I'm Jerry Quinn.
And I'm Allison Raybar. Until next time, thanks for listening.